the New Testament this morning. It's going to be a reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 11 and continuing through verse 13. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. And I invite you to follow along with your favorite translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we are certainly offering you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. And we pray and ask that you will let our hearts be open before you so that we may receive these words as words of life. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak today, that the words that I speak, that they may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that particular scripture that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, Paul's not inventing that idea of expression of love. In fact, it is something that begins in the Hebrew Scriptures, begins in the Old Testament, and in Exodus chapter 34, all the way in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Exodus, when God appears to Moses, now this is what Exodus 34 is. This is Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Moses has been instructed by God to cut two tablets, and God comes down. God comes down from heaven, as we were talking about with our children, as we recognize that. So God has descended, God has come down, and is there passing in front of Moses. And these are the first words in Exodus chapter 34. These are the very first words that God speaks to Moses as God has come from heaven and has come to earth where Moses is standing and passes in front of Moses and says this, the Lord, a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation. And so essentially, as God passes in front of Moses, as God has descended from the highest realms of heaven and is passing in front of Moses, says that I'm God. I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger, but I'm abounding in steadfast love. The Hebrew word for steadfast love is hesed. And it means loyal, it means steadfastness, as you might, that's where our translation comes from. But it's loyalty, it's steadfastness, it's merciful, and it's loving kindness. All of those images come together into the relationship that God is establishing and what will become the covenant that God is establishing with Moses. This is the tradition that the Apostle Paul is picking up on. As he is drawing on this letter, as he is writing it to the Thessalonians, and the best of that tradition, the best of that tradition of what the Apostle Paul is inviting this congregation to engage in and to embrace in the very center of their lives together, is to imagine. Imagine if we were a group of people, Paul invites them. Imagine if you were a group of people that were equipped by God to abound in that kind of love. To abound in that kind of love that represents not only in your own life between you and God, but also that kind of love that emerges in this entire congregation, this entire community of faith, that is a love that is loyal, that is a love that is steadfast, that is a love that is merciful, that is a love that offers loving kindness. Now the real challenge for us, a couple thousand years past Paul when he is writing to the Thessalonians, that in the midst of chocolates and in the midst of hearts and in the midst of flowers, an overwhelming presence if you've been in the grocery store lately, by the way. But people are longing, which our grocery stores know, as well as other places know right now. People are longing for communities that are abounding in love. For a few years now, the National Institutes of Health, the Surgeon General, Centers for Disease Control, they have all worked together to talk about a loneliness epidemic that is emerging in our midst and in our country. This is not just the COVID thing, too. It's well beyond just March of 2020 and COVID. Research shows, in fact, that in the late 80s, that when people were asked, who are the people that you confide in? How many people do you have in your life that you have a relationship with that you can confide into? This is essentially, now the way that I tend to think about it, is that who is that person that at 3 a.m., when you're in a personal crisis and you find that you can't sleep, who is that person that you're going to pick up the phone and call and let them know that you're in this kind of crisis? Now, what is interesting about this, and this is why, some of our major health industries are paying attention to this as well, sociologists and psychologists. But in the late 80s, people would say, they would readily say, well, I've got about three people. There are three people that I can confide in, three people that I could pick up the phone and I could call. Now, Stanford University, they've done a little bit more recent research into this idea. It says that there are as many as 25% of the population in our country. They say that the person that they could call, the person that they can confide in, the people that are around them that they can confide in, now, late 80s, about three people, but at least 25% of the general population right now says, you know what, I've got zero people in my life that I could call, that I could confide in. Now we know. We know in the breadth of the scriptures that we have, we know in the life of Jesus Christ, you know that even Jesus, and John records this in John chapter 13, verse 35. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says that they will know. That they will know that you are Christians. They will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. But have you ever imagined the kind of longing that may exist well outside of the walls and the doors of this church just to have someone who, well, not only loves them, not only cares about them, but just to have someone that they could pick up the phone or send a text or communicate with and have in their life just a single person that they can confide in. But imagine what we are able to do together. This is what the Apostle Paul was inviting the Thessalonians to embrace, but imagine at Grace Point being the kind of people who not only are those that you can confide in, those that would care about you, those that would check on you and love you, but imagine being the kind of people that abound in love, the kind of hesed love that God experienced and passed on to Moses. The kind of loyal, steadfast, merciful, kind of loving kindness that Jesus embraces in his own life on this earth. Imagine that being the kind of love that we are able to abound in as a community. Long after Valentine's Day, after the cards are read, after the chocolate is eaten, after the balloons have been deflated. But imagine that. You know, we are going to leave from this Sunday morning, and we are going to gather right back here in this space, and we are going to do that very ancient practice of taking ashes and smudging those ashes on our foreheads. And then you are going to be given, as you receive those ashes, as they are smudged on your forehead, you're going to be given that very uplifting message of remember that you are dust, and to dust you are going to return. I mean, that's enough to make you excited and want you to show up for church on a Wednesday night, right? And yet we do that. And we do it not by ourselves. We do it not alone. We do it not in our own homes, but we do it together as the body of Christ because we recognize that as we have been shaped and formed by God out of the very dust of the earth, as God has given us breath into our very own lives and has breathed into us breath that will lead to life, we recognize that we will return to dust. And yet, what God has invited us and our spirits and our souls and with brand new raised up bodies, what God has promised us is that we will have eternal life. And so it is the exact kind of message that as a community of faith that you do want to hear on a Wednesday night at 6 p.m. because it is an extraordinarily uplifting message to know that we are dust and to dust we shall return, because we know that at the end of our lives on this earth that we will live and reign in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. And we know that in the meantime, that there is a community, that there is a body, that there is a church that not only cares about us, not only is a person that we are able to confide in, but we are people that are abounding in love for one another. The kind of hesed love that the Hebrew Scriptures teach us. A love that is loyal and steadfast and merciful and filled with loving kindness. Imagine what happens when we grow in love with God and when we grow in love with one another. Now I want to invite you that as we end our time together in this space, I want to invite you into a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed to the Ephesians. That in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 17 and continuing through verse 19, he offered this prayer. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to be reading it for you. And this is a translation that is the Living Bible. But Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 19. This is not my prayer. This is Paul's letter for the Ephesians. Let us bow our heads and let us pray. And we ask, O God, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
I'll stand. Sing one more time together this morning.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let